Our Father, we come to you this morning. Again, thanking you for your wonderful words, the wonderful words of life. We thank you for the many men and women who made sacrifices to get this word out to the people. People such as Wycliffe, Tyndale, Luther, others, Sproul, Chuck Swindoll, and others who have preached your word throughout the world. And we thank you for that, Father. And we pray for the spiritual welfare of our nation, that you would hold back evil, first of all, in our governments. And we pray for our governments. We pray for our president, our vice president, our Congress, our courts, our governors, our mayors, city councils, that you, Father, would have your way with them. We know that there is nothing that you do not know about, and there is nothing that you are not in control of. And we pray that you would have an effect upon these men and women in our government for protection for our troops. We pray for continuous provision for our church finances. And Lord, so important for believers in Jesus Christ who are persecuted around this world, who live in places that are at war, people living in the dust with a bowl of rice, maybe one every 2 days or whatever. Lord, be with these brothers and sisters in Christ who one day we shall see them in glory, dressed in white, just as anybody else. And we pray for these people. We pray that we be faithful here at Grace Bible Church. We distress many times over the numbers in which we have here. But even in that, we have to trust in you. We do pray for more people, more families. But Lord, for people who have committed their life to Jesus Christ. And that we, as Christians, will be bold in our witness outside of these four walls to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus. And Lord, we pray now for Pastor and Patty as they travel. Be with them. Give them safety on the road. And we look forward to their return for next Sunday. We pray for Gil Page's friend, BB, and daughter as they deal with life challenges within the family itself. We pray for them. For Shauna, Keith's daughter, going through medical tests, we pray for her. For Barb Morris, brother-in-law, Dennis, dealing with cancer. Teresa Losey, we pray for her mother. We pray that your hand will be upon her in her trying time as she looks forward to being with you. And we pray for Teresa and family in this situation. Patty Van Dries dealing with AFib is on medications. Hazel Jamerson's brother's wife. And I know I'm missing some here, Father, but we all have family members outside of Christ, family members with sicknesses, and we commit them to you. And now, Father, as Jim comes and ministers to us, presenting to us the wonderful ministry of the Gideons, we pray and place him in your hands. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Jim, would you come forward?
Thank you, Jerry. It is always a joy and a pleasure to be with you. And we just thank you for your faithful support of the Gideons over the years. You've been very faithful and supportive of the Gideon ministry. I want to share a little bit today with you about what the Gideons are doing here, not only in our own community, but in a few places around the world. But first, I want to share with you the Gideon's theme verse, and that comes from Isaiah 55:11, which reads, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." You know, the word of God is quick and powerful, and the Holy Spirit, along with the word of God, can convict the most hard heart. And I have a testimony here that I'd like to share with you this morning. It only runs about 6 minutes, but then I'll share about the Gideon ministry. So, Keith, if you're ready to show that. Christopher.
I was raised by an incredible family here in Georgia, a wonderful mother and a wonderful father. I can't remember an evening. Evening or a special holiday when we do not have complete strangers sitting at the table with us. During holiday seasons, we would have people who had been thrown out of their homes either because of drug addiction or alcoholism, or later when in the 80s, when the AIDS epidemic hit, my mother took in people with AIDS and took care of them. When I was in high school, we had a runaway living with us. My mother took in almost anybody. And she actually loved them. She treated them as family. Now, this might be very common for Christians, and many Christians around the world might do something similar, but see, my family were all atheists, every one of us. My brother, my sister, my parents, my aunts and uncles, and my grandparents. We didn't own a Bible, we didn't listen to Christian programming, and we didn't go to churches. And growing up, I had a wonderful mother, very talented. She was an artist. And as part of her talents, it enabled us to travel to all kinds of galleries and museums and travel throughout the United States. And so, of course, we stayed in a lot of hotels. One evening, after we had wrapped up visiting a hotel, visiting a museum, we stayed in that hotel. And that evening, my mom wanted to go out to dinner. And I said, "You know, Mom, I'm a little tired. I was 14, and it was 1974. And I said, "Would you mind going out and getting something? I'm just going to stay around here." I stayed in that evening, and I looked around the hotel room for something to read. And lo and behold, at the foot of the bed, on a bench seat, was a little red Gideon's Bible. Now, I had never read a Bible before. I'm not sure at that age that I had ever even seen one, and I had never heard the gospel story. So I picked up that book, and I began to read just like any other 14-year-old would. I opened up to page 1, paragraph 1, sentence 1, and that's where I began to read. It took about 15 or 20 minutes for my mother to come back with dinner, and in that time, I had read several chapters of the Bible, and I decided right then and there in that hotel room that that was the most incredible work of fiction I had ever read. And so the next morning, as we were packing to leave the hotel, I took that little red Gideon's Bible and I hid it in my suitcase. Now let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, even a 14-year-old atheist knows that it's not right to steal. But I did it anyway. And years later, my sweet husband would say to me, honey, that's not really stealing. The Gideons want you to have that Bible. But I didn't know that. I took that little red Gideon's Bible home, and for the next 4 years while I was in high school, while my friends were out doing what teenagers typically do, I was behind a locked door and often under my covers with a flashlight reading that Bible. And I started, as I said, from page one, sentence one, and continued to read through. And by my senior year in high school, I had finally reached the scripture in the New Testament that says, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock, and the door shall be opened. And so that night, I closed my eyes and I said, God, I don't believe in you. No one in my family does. But if you're really there, just show me. Just show me and I'll believe. And I had read so many incredible tales about burning bushes and stars at night that I expected something like that to happen. And when it didn't, I was very disappointed and I thought, well, this is a wonderful book, but it's not for me and God does not exist. That fall in 1978, my mother, who was my best friend, helped me pack for college and I could not find a way to sneak that little red Bible into my suitcase. And so off I went to the University of Georgia right down the road to start my academic career. That fall, as God would have it, across the hall from me was a young lady by the name of Susie Colley. And I knew within a very short period of time that she was a Christian. Now, up until that point, I'm not sure I'd met very many. Certainly no one had ever shared the gospel story with me, and I was 18 years old, living in the United States. But I knew that Susie was a Christian because she was just like the people in the book of Acts. She talked about God and prayed to God, but what was more amazing is that God talked to her, and she told me that. And so that fall, she took me to a Christian concert at the University of Georgia, and that night I heard the gospel story, and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ and my life. Now, I went to the front. I went to the front and told the minister that I wanted to be baptized in water. And he tried to explain to me that on a Saturday night, most of the churches are locked, and there wasn't really a place that he could take me that had a baptismal font. But that didn't matter to me. You see, by that time, I had read the New Testament. I knew what the book of Acts said, and I'd read all the stories in the Gospels. And I insisted I was not leaving that student center without being baptized. So bless his little heart. They opened up someone's house and took me over, and I was baptized with water and filled with the Holy Spirit in a bathtub. Now, as we say in the South, there just ain't nothing like a born-again Christian, or a born-again atheist, too. And so what happened was for the next several years, I began to share with everyone I came in contact with the story that I had never heard. I told them about Jesus, and I told them about the Bible. And my entire family, within the next 2 years, except for my mother and my brother, became born-again Christians. Radically changed born-again Christians. So now I need to fast forward to 5 short years ago. I received, sitting in the building, not far from where you sit, a call stating that I needed to come to the hospital. My mother had been diagnosed with inoperable cancer, and we found out that she had only 2 to 3 months to live. In a courtyard at her home here in Atlanta, Georgia, I sat down with her a week after her diagnosis, and she began to do what the doctors had told her to do, and that was get her affairs in order. And she looked at me and she said, Carrie, I hope I have been a good mother. I hope you have been proud of me. And I said, well, Mom, why would you say that? I've had an incredible childhood. I've had an incredible relationship with you. And she said, because we don't believe the same way. I know you're a Christian, and I'm still an atheist after all these years. And I know that it's disappointing, and I know that it must affect the way that you see me. And I said, Mom, I'm sorry that I've given you that impression, because no, let me tell you how God sees you. I said, there's a story in the New Testament about a Good Samaritan. When all the believers and the godly people had left the downtrodden, and a man that was beaten up in a gutter, and would not help him, a good Samaritan came along, someone who was not one of the faithful, and they took care of that man in the gutter. God loves you. God loves your heart, and God loves how you served his people. And I said, it's such a beautiful story. I just wish I had a Bible that I could share with you so I could read it to you. And she said, well, honey, I don't know how I have this, but if you'll go into my bedroom and get up on a chair and reach into the back on the bookcase, I think you'll find a Bible there. I'm not really sure where it came from or what it's doing there, but I think there's one there nonetheless. And so that evening, 5 years ago, I got up on a chair and I reached into the back on the top of the bookcase, and out I pulled that little red Gideon's Bible. Well, of course, I had to at that point confess to my mother that I'd stolen it. And I tried to explain to her what my husband said, and that it's not really stealing, but she was having nothing of that. And she said, I really want to keep that Bible, Carrie, so you're going to have to call the Gideons, and you're going to have to ask them for us to keep it. And that started my relationship formally with the Gideons International. A very sweet, kind, faithful brother named Reed Calloway dedicated this Bible to my mother. And in less than a year later, beating all of the odds the doctors gave her, my mother gave her heart to the Lord. And as I said before, again, there just ain't nothing like a born-again atheist. So she began to share the love of God with everyone she knew. My mother went to be with the Lord 2 years ago. During her last days, as she was, her health was ailing and she was in the hospital, people came from all over the United States that were lifelong friends to visit her. One of those people was a little Jewish psychiatrist from Virginia. And she stayed with us that week, and she took me aside at one point and she said, Carrie, I've known your mother almost her entire life, and I've known you. Now, I've always noticed that there's something really different about you. But in all the years I've known your mother, there's something really different about her now, too. And I can't figure it out. What is going on? Tell me about your faith. And so I looked at her and I said, Shelley, it all started when I was 14 years old, and I stole a little red Gideon's Bible. And she went, oh! And I said, well, Shelley, you know, it's not really stealing. I've learned that by now. And Shelley said, that's not why I gasped. She said, you see, I'm a psychiatrist in a hospital, and 2 weeks ago, I almost stole a little white Gideon's Bible. And I said, well, they really do want you to have those, Shelley. My mother passed away 2 years ago on New Year's Day, and within 30 days, I received this email from the little Jewish psychiatrist, Shelley. She had walked out in the back of her yard. She closed her eyes, and in this, she details how she accepted Jesus and asked him to be Lord and Savior of her life. I want to thank you. I want to thank all of you for your service. I want to thank you for your role in fulfilling the Great Commission. I cannot tell you how the devotion of Gideon's in the past and how your devotion has changed my life. Yes, God is always faithful, but he is faithful through his people. You have an incredible ministry. You and the Gideon's International will be forever woven in my faith story and in the story of my family. I will bring you up to date on my brother, because some people who know me have asked. My brother will not set foot in the church. After I came to know the Gideons, several faithful brothers called him and tried to share their faith with him. And he would call me and say it's a waste of time. 2 months ago, I heard from my brother. And he said that he had gone to church for the first time. Your faithfulness has meant everything to my family. Where most families have old Bibles that they'll keep forever as their family Bibles, my Red Gideon's will be our family Bible. We will pass this down, and we will always tell every member of our family about your faithfulness and your service. Thank you for being here, and thank you for your service.
Well, that testimony was given at Gideon's International a few years ago, and it was directed towards Gideon's, but as you support Gideon's, you know, you share in the rewards of those many testimonies that come in constantly at Gideon's International. Well, just to share with you who are the Gideon's, we are business and professional men along with our wives to make up the auxiliary. And the Gideon ministry is almost 120 years old. It was begun by a couple of salesmen back in 1899, and so we're almost 120 years old. But the thing that amazes me and pleases me is that through all those years, the purpose of the Gideon ministry has never changed, and that is to see men and women, boys and girls, come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Well, how do we endeavor to do that? Well, one of the things is that we are trained and encouraged to be personal witnesses using the Gideon New Testaments, which has helps in the front and the God's plan of salvation in the back, to share those as the Holy Spirit leads us. On January the 13th, I did deliver a trailer load of baled hay to some friends over west of 53, and the roads at our place were fine. I got over west of 53, and it's hilly there, you know, and I got about three quarters of the way up a hill, and my truck stopped, and I started sliding back down, and ended up jackknifed across the road, blocking the whole road. Well, I go home we got home, and we had to get pulled up the hill by a wrecker, but got home later that evening, and we had some things to return to the neighbor who lives just across the road, and I says, well, Rosie, you call and see if it's all right if we bring those over now. And Gary says, well, wait a while. There's somebody ran out of gas, and they're parked in my driveway. So wait a while. I got thinking, well, this is an opportunity. So I jumped in the van, and he said they walked down to the corner store, the gas station there. It's about a half a mile away. And it's cold, you know, it's January. So I jumped in the van and ran down there looking for a couple guys who are out of gas. They're outside of the store, and I said, are you the ones that are run out of gas? There's two young men, and he said, yes. He says, we went in the store, and they won't help us. He says, I lost my wallet. I don't have any money. I don't have any credit card. And I says, well, come jump in the van. I got some gas at home, and we'll get you going. So took them home, got a can of some gas in it, and drove over to the neighbors, and in the meantime, while I shared with him, took out a New Testament and shared with him a New Testament. And he was so grateful. He was so grateful, and I accepted it and wanted to give me something in return. But as we do that, as we see needs, you know, as the Lord leads, we are encouraged to share the New Testaments with those we come in contact with. The other way in which we seek to fulfill this ministry, fulfill the Great Commission, which we find in Mark 16:15, that is, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that is by, you're familiar with Bibles and motels, but we also place them in in nursing homes and in hospitals and various places. Distribute them to colleges and universities, the New Testaments, and to the military, and in the traffic lanes of life, placing God's word in those places. Well, the Gideon ministry this past year distributed over 87 million copies of God's word, and that was our fiscal year. It comes up here at the end of May, and those were given out into, we now have Gideon's working in 201 countries, and over 100 different, God's word is going out in over 100 different languages across the world. And just to give you a short update of what's happening in some places in the world, I might add that Gideon's function all over the world in camps, just as we do here, you know. But in China, if you're familiar with anything with China, China has anywhere from 1.3 to 1.5 billion people. China is not an open country. You can't go to China and pass out Bibles on the street. It's illegal. But Gideons have special permission to go to the registered churches and distribute Bibles that are printed in China. We were at a Gideon retreat last fall, and our our messenger was one of those that has gone to China. On this one particular trip over to China, they had given out between 32 and 33,000 Bibles they had distributed in these registered churches. He said to go to these churches, and China's kind of put them off out of the off in the boondocks, but the churches will be packed. And he says going to one of those churches there in China is not much different than going to a church in the U.S. So they were able to take Bibles there and distribute them and present the gospel. And during this trip there, they experienced over 700, as they shared the gospel, 700 people responded to accept Christ as their Savior. He was telling us that only 10% of the people have ever held a Bible. And then he showed us a picture of this older lady, grandma lady, and they pictured him giving her a Bible, giving her a whole Bible. She held out both hands, tears coming down her eyes. And she said, I've been a Christian for many years, but I've never held a Bible. And she says, I won't have this Bible very long, and I'll give it to someone else. She'll pass it along to someone else. But only 10% of the people in these Chinese registered churches has ever held a Bible. So the Gideons are able, have special permission to pass out these Bibles in these registered churches. Now, if nothing's able, other than that, nothing, the government won't let anything else come in or like any funds come out of those churches. But they have their ministers that regulate all that. And so that's what's happening, briefly what's happening in China. In India, currently there are 1 million Bibles being distributed every month going out through the Gideons. And this testimony of a young boy who grew up in India, he had two goals in life. That was to know the truth, and you know India is a country of many different languages. So he wanted to know the truth, and he wanted a good relationship with his father. Well, as he became a teenager, neither one of those were coming true. And he had a close friend that committed suicide, you know, and he decided himself that life was not worth living. And so he attempted to take his life, but he ended up in the hospital. While in the hospital, someone brought a Bible to him, a Gideon Bible, and he began reading it. And to make a long story short, he came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and perhaps you've heard him on the radio. Let my people think. Rabbi Zacharias is now ministering all over the U.S. and all over the world. But one Gideon Bible and one young man finding the truth. Praise God. Last fall of 2017, about 3,000 scriptures were given primarily to students in Indonesia, and it's mostly a Muslim country. Many Christians are being persecuted there. But 3,000 Bibles were able to be given, distributed. And we have the story of Servano, who grew up in a in a Muslim home. And his sister got a New Testament like this at school, brought it home. Servano picked it up, and he started reading it secretly because he was afraid if his father found out, he would be in big trouble. So he kept reading that New Testament in secret. But eventually, Servano was found out. And when his father found out, it came to light that his father was reading the Bible secretly also. So the whole and so now the whole family has come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And Servano is a pastor somewhere there in Indonesia today. God's word is powerful, quick and powerful. And just testimony after testimony comes into Giddings International. Those are just a few of things that are happening around the world. But I want to let you know what's happening here, right here in our own county. We weren't a part of it, but just this past week, members of the North Camp were able to hand out the little white New Testaments to the nurses' graduates. And as we met with the North Camp yesterday, they said between 75 and 100 New Testaments we're giving out to the new nurses' graduates. Well, part of our ministry of our auxiliary ladies is to go to the doctor's offices in the area. And I know Rosie and Jill were planning and many times to go out and just never seemed to happen. So one winter day I said to Rosie, well, I'll go with you, you know. So we went into Marine City and visiting the doctor's offices. And this is a kind of an eye-opener to me because I'd never done that with my wife. But we went to check the Bibles in the doctor's offices, and we're not always well received. We went to an attorney's office, and we were not well received at all. But we go into other places, you know, and where they have a Bible, and the people there just received us so welcomely, and we were able to give out many New Testaments that day. But we went up to the motel there, North Marine City, Anchor Inn, I think it is, and met the lady there, and she says, oh, we just renovated a couple rooms, I can use a couple new Bibles. So we left a couple Bibles there, and we had gone by the Heather House, you know, and for some reason we had never taken the opportunity to go there to see if they wanted Bibles there. So Rosie and I parked in the side street there, went to the front door, and a man met us there, and no, we don't need any Bibles. So we thanked him, and we went back to our van, got in the van, and he comes out of the side door. Wait. apparently his wife had a different idea, and so we were able to leave 5 Bibles there, so there are now Bibles in the Heather House. So we made our way down to Elginac and different places, but yeah, that was it was a fruitful day. It was a blessing to carry out that ministry with my wife. You know, we've been together in the Detroit Blitz and gone to nursing homes and gone from room to room. But one of the other things our ladies do is to go to the nursing homes in our area. So Rosie got our neighbor later, who was a homeschooler with her 5 children, to go to Metal Lodge there by the hospital. And in the past, they were always let them go from room to room to share with the patients if they wanted a scripture. I don't have, and we give out the New Testament, the large version like this or some on the table, but in their large print. But when she got there, they said, no, you can't go to room anymore. So Rosie went out to the van. She had some large pictures to present the story of Jesus with, and they gave her a group of ladies in a room, and she went through the gospel story. And at the end, 2 of the ladies were very responsive, and actually, Rosie led them in prayer, and they received Christ as their Savior. So the Lord is good, and He blessed in a mighty way. And she's gone back to the one across from the school there, if I forget the name of that one, that nursing home. But she's gone there a couple times and is able to, not able to go to room, but able to take Bibles there and share with the ladies that are able to come. So those are some of the things that we are doing that happening locally. I went out on my own to check some of the hotels, the Bibles in motels in our area, and was able to, well, I went to Super 8 in Marysville. And I know it had been a number of years before since the Bibles had been replaced, but happened to be there when the manager was there, and I told him about, I had been thinking about, we could replace all the Bibles there. And so the ladies were cleaning, and so he went with me to one of the rooms, and we opened the Bible, and it had a folded page in it, and they were quite old, and he says, well, yeah, maybe they've been in here 10 or 15 years. So I got permission to replace all the Bibles, give them all new Bibles. And yesterday, well, I think they have 70 rooms, so yesterday I dropped off those Bibles at Super 8, so they'll have all fresh new Bibles. And I think this is one of the older ones, but the newer ones have helps in front and a little nicer Bible. So that's some of the things that we're doing in our own area. Well, we appreciate your financial support of the Gideons. There are other ways that you can help us in this ministry. And I trust that you pray for the Gideon ministry. And there's some specific ways that you can pray for the Gideon ministry. And that is, that Gideons around the world will be faithful in carrying out this ministry. And that there are Gideons in countries that where Christians are persecuted. Pray for their safety and in those countries. You can pray for barriers to be broken down. We have our own barriers. Not only as we go out to some of the doctor's offices, and get turned down, but, and that reminds me that you can perhaps be a help to us in that, or our ladies in that way. And that is, and when sometimes, you go to the doctor and you have to wait a while. Well, if there's a Bible in that room, go get it and sit down and read the Bible while you're waiting, In 2010, when I had my eye surgery, Rosie was reading her Bible in the waiting room there, and a lady who was very distraught came and started talking to her, and Rosie was able to lead her to the Lord. So you never know what will happen. But if you go to a doctor's office and you don't see a Bible there, go and ask, do you have a Bible here? And then maybe the next time we go, the ladies go there, they'll be more apt to leave a Bible there. So, and that reminds me when I went to the Claire Inn there north of Marysville. I think it's Mideastern people that run it there, but I was talking to the man, he was very open. And he says, I always keep a Bible here in the lobby, but there's one missing, so I was able to replace that one and some others. But you can pray that those barriers will come down. One of the barriers we face, not only individually, and like things are changing in the hunt, they won't let the ladies go to room in the nursing homes, but we are not able to go into the schools. Years ago, Gideons would go in the schoolroom and give the gospel and hand out a New Testament to the fifth grade students, whoever would accept one. So there are barriers, like in China. China is closed. You can pray. The Gideons are continually seeking to get into new countries, and one country was added this year, but there are probably between 15 and 20 countries where the Gideons are not allowed in, and most of those are Muslim countries. So you can pray that, as you pray for the Gideons, that those barriers will come down. One of the ways you can pray more specifically is that Gideons now have a category which we call Friends of Gideons. Now, it doesn't cost you anything to sign up. You can go online to the Gideons website, and you get prayer requests, and you get updates on Bible distributions throughout the world, and you get testimonies. It costs you nothing to sign up, and you can pray for the Gideons in that way. Of course, you always have been very faithful in giving to the Gideons financially. And if you didn't come prepared today to give to the Gideons financially, you can take that bulletin insert that you have in there, and you can give later by check. There's envelope in there, and you can just send it to our post office box here in St. Clair, or you can go online and go on the website, and you can donate anytime. When you make out a check to the Gideons, and you can be assured that you're not going to get a letter from the Gideons requesting more money. Gideons do not do that. But so you can give using this. So also, we encourage you to, throughout the year, you know, we only come to your church once a year to give a report, but we have the Gideon Cards program. And before Rosie and I became Gideons in, I think, the year 2000-2001, we went to a church who always, each year, had a Gideon presentation. And we loved using the Gideon cards. For instance, just this winter, we had a neighbor who turned 90, and we were invited to her her birthday party, and it says no gifts. Well, you can take a Gideon card, and which one of them says thinking of you or honoring you on this day, and you can donate Bibles and in their behalf. And so for every $5 you donate, we'll purchase a Bible like this, which has about a 6-year lifespan in the motel or hotel and be on duty 24/7. We have, for anybody that has a smartphone that would like a Gideon app in their smartphone, we have information on the table back there. You can download a Gideon Bible app, and it has the Bible in many different languages. If you're witnessing to someone who doesn't speak English, you can go in there and get the Bible in their own language. So we'll be back at the table there. If you have any questions, you can also pray for new members for us. We have about 12 Gideons and some auxiliary in our camp, and I think we have 4 families that are doing most all the work. Some of them are not active, but they support us by their membership. So just, I want to again thank you for your support of the Gideons and allowing me to come and share this morning. Like I say, if you have any questions, my wife and I will be back there at the table. And just again want to thank you very much, and turn it back over to Jerry.